The heading of my message this morning is that God would give us utterance. And later on, I'll explain what that means. It's not hard to understand. It's just a case of practicing this thing as often as we can and moving forward in our confidence with God. Okay. I shared this with Group A on Wednesday night. And I think I may have shared this with, I might have asked this question, might have been 6-7 years ago. Now, to those of you who know the answer, don't put up your hand. I'm going to give the rest of us 10 to 15 seconds to think about what I've said, okay? And then I'm going to ask you for the answer. So here's my question. What is greater than God, worse than the devil, and if the living eat it, they die? What is greater than God, worse than the devil, and if the living eat it, they die? Anybody out there know the answer? Who said that? Give that man a Moro bar. Well done, son. Yeah, nothing. You can use this in your approach questions when you're talking with the lost. Nothing is greater than God. Nothing is worse than the devil. And if you eat nothing, you're going to die, aren't you? So, great opener. I've used that many times on the streets, but I tell you what, you should see the look on the people's faces. Some with amusement, some with dismay, but you never know, do you? Amazing. Okay. I just want to share one story with you that I personally use on the streets, or even in a group setting with a total stranger. And it goes like this. So unpack this in your mind as I go through it. I'll go through it very slowly. True story of a man who used to enjoy walking through the graveyards. This is over in America. Beautiful, hot, sunny day. He's walking through this graveyard, and he used to enjoy reading the epitaphs on the gravestones. This one really captured his imagination one day. And it goes as follows. He said, remember, this person is dead. They've been dead for quite a while, and they're speaking to the person who is addressing the epitaph. It said, pause now, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you shall be. So prepare for death and follow me. The man had a marker pen in his pocket. He knelt down and he wrote beneath. He said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Isn't that good? It talks about direction, doesn't it? Talks about direction. It's challenging. And I'll just share two quick epitaphs that I saw on the internet quite a while ago. The first one is, spot the contrast here. The first one was, here lay the bones of Margaret Bent, who kicked up her heels and away she went. The second one is, here lay the remains of an atheist, all dressed up and nowhere to go. It's sad, isn't it? You know, it's to die without Christ, you don't look forward to anything, do you? There's nothing from their perception. Really sad. I've got down here, 1 Peter 3, verse 5, says that I'm going to put my glasses on this time. I had trouble reading that in my last message last time. Okay. 1 Peter 3, verse... Oh, that's better. 1 Peter 3, verse 5 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defence to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here's the parallel. Or one of them. Did you know there's only two seasons during each year in which we can share the gospel? Do you know what they are? There's in season and out of season. It's an all year round thing, isn't it? You like that, don't you? Always be ready. And when I was with OEC Ministries, our catchphrase was RFA. In other words, be ready for anything, because you never know who's going to be walking across your path on any given day. Am I right? You never know who you're going to bump into. You never know who you're going to converse with. So be ready. Know the word. Know your scriptures. But the key to this message here is being prompted, being led by the Spirit on what to say for those situations. That's what I'm going to be focusing on today. And I'm going to give you a few illustrations. This thing's falling apart. Got rained on this morning. Okay. Yeah, you never know who you're going to maybe share the gospel with. And I remember at in the freezing works, I decided to take a break from my carpentry work, made redundant. Me and my first wife, we decided to move to Hawke's Bay. Got a job at the freezing works, something different. And I had been there probably 3 or 4 months, I suppose. And I remember very clear, I was very, very, very much a heathen back in those days, I tell you. And I ended up working with this guy who was a Christian. He told me straight out he was a Christian. And I'll never forget this guy because he was a real light. He was a real ambassador for Christ, you know what I mean? He shone that light. And his conduct was impeccable. He was just a lovely, lovely man. And we had so many conversations, and he shared the gospel with me, you know, quite often. Every day, basically, I was receptive, I was open, I was looking for the truth. And I thought, man, this guy's got what I want. He's got what I want. But I didn't know how to get a hold of it, you know what I mean? And it wasn't until probably 6 years, about 6 years later, I got saved in the same place. And, but this guy, I tell you what, he was amazing. He was a really, really lovely guy. And when he left, he was only there for 3 weeks. And I believe without a doubt that God sent this man across my path. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that, man. He was just beautiful. And when he left, I really missed him. I just enjoyed being in his presence, in his company, you know what I mean? I enjoyed conversing with him. Just a lovely, lovely guy. So you never know who you're speaking to, folks. The end result, you can get yourself saved too. That's beautiful. Okay. I remember in Napier, I just filled up my car, went inside to pay for the gas, and this guy behind the counter said, "Do you remember me?" And I looked at him, I said, "No, sorry, mate, I don't. Sorry about that." And he said, "You came out, you never know who you're talking to." He said, you came out to prison. I was doing prison ministry back in those days. He said, "You came out and you shared with me." He said, "I'm a Christian now." And he was so proud of saying that, you know what I mean? Yeah, nearly brought a tear to my eye. He said, "I'm a Christian now." I said, "Are you in fellowship with any church?" He said, yes, I am. He said, "I'm going to the Napier Baptist Church," I think I was. And so, you know, plant the seed. And I'm sure there were many others who were planting the seed along the way as well. You never know who you're going to be speaking to. That's probably going to be my catchphrase for this morning. You never know who you're going to be speaking to. Okay. So we need to listen to the Lord's prompting. Okay. And I'm going to be just sharing a few quick stories here on being led by the Spirit. Don't always get it right. I'm just like you. Don't always get it right, but we do our best to be led by the Spirit. Promptings of the Holy Spirit. We were over in Sydney, and we were going to a church in Sydney there, and came out of the church, and we were heading towards the train station to go home. And just to the side of the train station, I looked over to my left-hand side, and I saw this, well, I won't say elderly man, he was only about 55, 60, and he was sitting there by himself. He was heavily clothed. This was in the middle of summer, and he was a street person, pretty obvious. He had his head down, sitting on a park bench there, on a bench beside the train station. And I just believe the Lord said, "Go and have a talk with him." So I said to John, I said, "Quick, let's go and have a talk with this guy, you know." Went over there, sat down beside him. This guy had been a street person for a long, long time. Sadly, we did a bit of probing, you know what I mean, asked him a few questions, told him how he came to become, you know, where he is now. And he said, "I used to be a pastor in the church in Sydney." He said, "I used to be a pastor." He said, "But I did something that I didn't believe God could forgive me for." And he went spiraling down. he didn't believe that God could forgive him for this particular whatever it was. And the tears were just rolling down his cheeks, honey. It was just an amazing conversation. So we tried to encourage him to go to the church, you know, just across the road from where we'd been. But he wasn't very receptive at the time. But, you know, we prayed for him. He was open to that, wasn't he? It was just a beautiful moment. You know, you never know who you're going to be speaking to, just being led by the Spirit. And, oh, wow. Might have been 2 years ago outside the Calf and Bulls. We'd gone in to get a pie, came out, and there was a guy there, and he was pretty rough looking. Don't ever judge a book by its appearance, folks, because I tell you what, that's it. That's not a good thing to do. And this guy was pretty rough. He had a muckle on his face, and he was just, you know, big fella. He's sitting there, and I looked at him, and I believe the Lord said to me, go and have a talk with him. Ask him if he's okay. I said, okay then. So I went out to this guy. I introduced myself, and I said, do you mind if I take a seat? He was sitting in the middle of the seat, so he moved over. I sat down beside him. I said, bro, I said, what's your name? He said, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm a Christian. I said, and I believe the Lord's asked me to come and see, he's asked me to come and see if you're okay. And he said, yeah, I'm all right, bro. And he said, nah, I'm not really. He just changed tack, you know what I mean? And sat there, and we talked with this guy. It was really, really beautiful. And prayed for him, gave him a little Steps to Peace with God booklet, and we were gone. You know, you never know who you're going to be speaking to. Prayed that guy would come to know Christ, but he was down and out. Just needed someone to talk to. It was beautiful. This was a conversation, I might have shared this a few years ago, actually. 2007, 2008, we were coming back from, I think it might have been the mountain or somewhere, and we were passing through Tai Happy, and we were getting kind of peckish, you know, but a little bit hungry. And so we decided to stop at the calf there in Tai Happy. Just going back one moment, but before we took off on this particular morning, the Lord said to me, he said, don't forget to bring your OEC bag, which contained my gospel tracts in it. I said, okay then, Lord. So I put the bag in the van. We were heading through Tai Happy. We stopped, walked across the road, and we'd never been to this camp before. Walked inside. I was the first one inside. And to my right hand side, I saw these three mongrel mob guys. I thought, yeah, here we go. Thank you, Jesus, you know. And then straight away I thought to myself, that's why the Lord told me to bring my bag full of tracks. And I said to John, I said, quickly, I said, let's get our lunch. I said, let's eat our lunch as quick as we can. I said, just pray that this man doesn't, that these three, four guys don't escape. Don't take off out the doors. So we gobbled down our pies, and then we shot across the road, and I got out the little my little what they call million-dollar notes gospel tract, and on the back it has a gospel message. So I took these out, and Joan said, "Oh, we'll just go and do some window shopping, you know, with the boys." I said, "Okay, then." So I went in there, and I said, I opened up the door, and I said, "Kia ora, guys." They go, "Kia ora, bro." I thought myself, I'm in. Here we go. And so I noticed that the formation was an L formation where the desks were, and I noticed there was a little seat sitting all by Sloan himself, right in the middle. So I came around the corner, I looked at these guys, and I handed out these million-dollar notes. I grabbed the chair, spun it around, straddled on it. I said, guys, I said, give it a read and tell me what you think. And I sat down. About 2 minutes later, I said, so what do you think? And I got a response from every single one of those guys. And I sat there and we talked for about an hour, just over an hour with these guys. We talked about gang life, shared the gospel. We talked about many particular things. And as I was halfway through the conversation, I noticed that this guy was looking at me very intently. And he was at the end of this the desk there. And he was looking at me. I said, bro, where have I seen you before? He said, yeah, where have I seen you before? I said, let me guess. I said, Mangorai Prison, 2006, 1H. He said, bro, spot on. The Lord gave me that information, you know what I mean? Just that recollection. He said, bro, he said, that's amazing. I said, well, God's amazing. I said, there's a reason why I'm talking with you guys this morning. I said, because God wants you guys to know the truth. He wants to set you free. And it was just a beautiful time. And probably 10 minutes later, one of the guys, it got too hot in the kitchen for him. He got up and he walked around the desk and he shot outside and pulled up a chair and sat out in front of the bakery. And I thought, I'll pick him up on the way out, you know. Anyway, it's getting too hot for him, mate. Yeah, so I carried on, talked for about another 20 minutes, and Joan, every now and again, I see Joan going past. I'd be looking at the bakery window. I noticed that Joan would be walking sort of to and fro, you know. And he looked at, and I quickly detected who the leader of this gang was, you know. So I didn't focus entirely on him, but I was talking to all these guys collectively. And then he looked out the window after about an hour or so, and he said, bro, he said, your wahine's out there waiting for you. I said, okay then, bro. I said, you know, because I thought, well, the conversation was starting to dimmer, you know, it's starting to go down a little bit. And so I said, guys, I said, do you mind if I pray for you? He said, no, that's okay, bro. So they took their hats off, bowed their heads. Praise the Lord, eh? Isn't that great? And I prayed a very intense prayer for these lovely guys, you know, and yeah, that was quite a few years ago. You never know who you're speaking to, do you? So I just want to encourage you with these stories. So we can't put God in a box. Two more quick stories. The Freezing Works, 1999. God put me in a situation where I was at the Bulls Freezing Works and I was only there for a season. This was 1999, and I had an absolute field day with those people in there. I got a list of all the people. I got a list of their names. And I found out where they worked. I found out when they had their smokos, where they had their smokers, where they had their lunch. I found all these things that I did my research, and I would do my best to just mingle in with these people and share the gospel with them. I got lots of rejects, but that's right. You keep on going, and got down to the point where there's only two more left, and these guys were boilermen, and their shift was probably 5 o'clock in the morning. They would start, and I said, Lord, I want to get down and have a chat with these guys in the boiler room. This is amazing. And that afternoon, the boss of the boning room came up to me. His name was Sean. And he said, Kim, he said, would you be interested in doing some early morning work, some overtime? I said, yes, I would. Love to. I thought, there's an answer to prayer, just like that. Bing, bingo, within 24 hours, there was an answer. And I thought, here we go, this will be great. And so I turned up to work. I was all kitted up. And I started about quarter to five in the morning. And I thought, I knew where the boss's office was, you see, so I had a tract in my pocket. I thought, well, kill a bit of time, I'll go in there and give Sean a tract, you know what I mean? He wasn't there. The light was on, he wasn't there. So I put it on his desk. he came back to me later on in the afternoon, and he said to me, Kim, are you responsible for putting that gospel tract on my desk? And I straightened up and I said, yes, sir, that was me, guilty as charged. I said, no regrets. I said, now you and I need to have a talk. That's what I said to him. It was straight up. Yeah, and his mouth just dropped. He said, okay then. I said, I'll see you outside. I said, I know you finish at 4:30, don't you? He goes, yes. I said, I'll see you outside at 4:30. I said, you and I need to have a talk. He said, okay then. Well, he didn't turn up. I waited there for 20 minutes. And I wasn't surprised, you know, of being there and done that. Anyway, he came back to me the very next morning. He said, Kim, he said, I apologise for not turning up at 4:30. He said, but we had a bull escape from the pens. I said, can we talk? I said, okay, I'll see you at 4:30 tonight. And he said, okay then. And sat there and shared the gospel with him. It was amazing. I'm not going to say be careful what you pray. But I tell you what, be prepared for those prayers to be answered, because God knows your heart, and he knows who are those who need to, or who are ready to hear the gospel, I should say. It's just amazing. And One more. We go to the Balls Medical Centre, and there's a doctor there by the name of Dr. Dave Baldwin, and I'd been to see him once before, didn't know him very well, and I just believe the Lord was impressing it upon my heart to share with this man. So I thought, well, how am I going to do this? And the Lord said, just go and then just share the gospel. I said, okay then. So booked an appointment. Joan decided to come with me, and walked in, got called. We both walked into his office. He said, what can we do for you this morning, Kim? And I said, Doc, I said, I'm fine. I said, nothing wrong with me. I said, but I've been told to come here and share the gospel with you. I said, are you open to that? He says, yes, I am. He said, take a seat. I said, you can charge me for this if you want to. He said, no. Well, he said, we'll see. Sat there, and we talked for about 20 minutes, eh? Man, what a beautiful conversation. This guy, they call him the flying doctor. He's got his own helicopter. Yeah, very intelligent man, but God is after his heart, not the intellect. And we had an amazing conversation. And we're still conversing with this man to this day. This was about 3 years ago, just when we came back, eh? Lovely, lovely, lovely. Tried to arrange a time where we could, because he said, Kim, he said, you know, can we arrange a time where we can both sit down, you know, with no interruptions, and we can carry on our conversation. So we arranged that, but that didn't happen. But still talking with this guy. So Dr. Dave Baldwin, remember him in your prayers. He needs Jesus. We all do. So, you know, Adrian Rogers once said, he said, I'm just a nobody who is trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. What a heart, eh? What a line. I'll say that again. I'm just a nobody who is trying to tell everybody about a somebody who can save anybody. So, can I encourage you to share your testimony when you can, even if it's just a portion of it? Share your testimony with these people, you know, because I remember, yeah, in excess of 20 times being told about Christ, and I remember some of these, I don't remember all the conversations, but I remember many of these people were sharing their testimony, you know, how they come to know Christ and what God had done in their lives since that moment on. So, yeah, if you can share a part of your testimony, praise the Lord, go for it. And as many of us probably know the scripture, it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. And it's that, I personally believe it's that spirit of fear that is stopping many people from witnessing or sharing their faith. It's a biggie. If the enemy can keep you in fear, he will. But it's up to us to, if I can put it this way, cross over that chicken line. There's a chicken line there. If we can cross over that chicken line, we're away. We see God going before us, it brings excitement. Are you with me so far? Okay. In Proverbs 29, it says that the fear of man is a snare. And a snare is basically a device that is used to capture an animal. But if the enemy can keep us in a snare, keep us in his snare, he's got us, hasn't he? And if he can render us useless and not share in our faith, then he will. Gladly, he will. Don't let him, folk. Don't let him, folk. Some of you have asked me to talk about how we can start a conversation with someone we do know, someone we don't know. And if we could bring up that, Jack. Thank you, mate. All right, here we go. So here's number one. Do you believe there is an afterlife? This one is a Ray Comfort one. He uses this a lot. Do you believe there is an afterlife? It's an open-ended question, and you'll always get a response, whether it be positive, whether it be negative. You'll always get a response. And it's an opening for us to share the gospel, okay? Because if you don't know, personally, if you don't ask people questions, you're never going to get feedback. You're never going to get feedback because 9 times out of 10, they won't disclose information to you that they don't want to. They will keep it to themselves. But if you ask them questions, I call it probing in a nice way, of course, they will open up. Okay. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? How many of you have used this one? Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Richard, any others? What do you reckon? It's good, isn't it? Okay, here's another one. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? What are you laughing at? Is it true? It's true, there you go. You've used it, haven't you? If you could ask God one question, what would it be? And the response would be, oh, very varied, isn't it? Amazing. Again, keep this conversation flowing. Okay, here's a good one. If you were to die tonight, would you be sure that you would go to heaven? Now, there's a lot of people, I believe, personally, that won't admit to the fact that they fear death because they don't know what lies beyond that last heartbeat. They won't. So if you were to die tonight, would you be sure that you would go to heaven? That's a good one. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? This coming Wednesday at 7:20, by the way, 7:20, in the house next door, we're going to be doing some role playing. And we're going to be going through these, and we would love to see you folk give us some input, me and Radu, if Radu's going to be there, okay? Because there are many ways you can approach a stranger and start conversing with them. So if you could know, here's another one. If you could know God personally, would you be interested? Ever heard of that one before? If you could know God personally, would you be interested? Okay. Is there more there, Jack? Yep. This is from Frank Turek. He's an apologist, Christian apologist. If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? Okay. And here's one that I use quite often. What do you think happens to a person when they die? What do you think happens to a person when they die? Here's another one. Do you fear death, or do you know what lies beyond your last heartbeat? I've already talked about that one there. Have you heard of any really good news lately? Have you heard of any really good news lately? I got this yesterday as I was doing the message. And I thought, man, that's a good one. What is the gospel? It's good news, isn't it? There you go. There's an opening, see? And most people don't usually say, oh, man, I'm good as. I'm sweet. I'm fine. I'm fantastic. But there's the good news there. Do you have a faith? Do you have a faith? And I've got down there. If you can, incorporate these scriptures into your conversation. This is all about, it's all about trial and error. It's about experimenting. It's about trusting God for the words that he's going to give you for that given situation, for that particular person. You know what I mean? We need to rely on him and say, Lord, what am I going to say here? What's my answer going to be? And that's how I've learned. It's hard to explain. But I've been thinking about this lately, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's learning to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us those questions for these people, because he knows their hearts, doesn't he? He knows them better than we do. He knows them very, very well. He knows where they're at in their walk. So we need to let the Lord guide us in these situations and give us utterance. Now that word utterance, I looked it up yesterday. It basically means to speak. That's what it means. It means to speak or to say. So who is familiar with Ephesians 6 verse 19 and 20? Anybody? It's at the end of the armor of God. I'm going to read it to you. Sorry? All right. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. So here's Paul, I believe. Here's Paul. He's in chains. And I believe he's probably got a soldier either side of him. He's looking up at these guys and he's thinking, you know, hey, I notice these guys have got their helmet on. They've got their shield. They've got their attire on, haven't they? And that's where I believe we get the armor of God. But he asks the church in this letter a particular question. He says, I'll go from verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he says, and for me. In other words, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in this that I may speak boldly, there it is again, boldly, in it as I ought to speak. So go home and analyze that. It's beautiful. So God wants us to speak in boldness. And trust in him that he's going to give us the right words to say. I've had to learn this myself. When we were sent over to Australia, God put us in a situation where we were living with an Australian couple, and I was doing a bit of carpentry for a firm over there for 6 weeks, and the Lord said to me, he said, I want you on the streets. I said, okay then. So I did that for 6 months. And that's how I learned. I had to learn the hard way. I'd be walking around just trying to think, now what am I going to say to this person? I'd be handing out tracts and I'd be trying to start a conversation. But I learned very quickly that I had to lean on the Holy Spirit to give me those words to say for those people. It's not hard. It may seem fearful at first, but I tell you what, once you get into the flow of it, that's where you get your confidence from. You'll get your confidence from that. When you see God go before you, and he always does, by the way, I tell you what, you can't help but get involved and keep on going. Don't retract, don't go back, but keep on going. And just trust in the Lord for those conversations. He's a good God. He's a fantastic God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I've given you those ones there. And on Wednesday night, we're going to be discussing these scriptures here, which I'm going to give you in a moment. So we can also learn how to turn a conversation in the natural around to the spiritual side of things, around to the kingdom of God. I'll give you one example. It might have been 10, 15 years ago, working outside, I was putting some boxing down for a concrete path, and all of a sudden this car turns up, and this guy was from an insurance company. And I gathered he was going around not doing door-to-door knocking, but he was just going around just randomly talking with people, seeing if he could sort of entice him into life insurance. And he walks up to us. He walks up to me, and he said, he talked about, you know, where he was from, stuff like that. And he said, would you mind if I came and shared with you about life insurance? And I said to him, I said, yep, that's fine. I said, but as long as I can talk to you about life assurance. See the difference? So we arranged for him to come to our place the next night about 7:30. And he came in there very gingerly. He had no idea what was ahead of him. And we sat down and he started telling us about his life insurance. And then I thought to myself, well, now it's my turn. So we talked about life assurance. And I'll tell you what, that guy could hardly wait to get out of the place. we laugh about it now, but I think it's a real shame, actually. But we did what we could. We did what we could, you know what I mean? Being led by the Spirit, being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I just thank the Lord for that quick response, you know. He gave me that utterance, you know, and we need to realize that when we walk out those doors and go into whatever we go into that particular day, we need to have our spiritual antenna up and be aware that, hey, man, I could be talking to someone soon, you know what I mean? What am I going to say? Okay. So, Jack, if I could have up the... very good, man, you're quick. Hey? Half a second, boom. All right. Now, these are beautiful scriptures, and I personally would love to see us memorize these, get to know them inside out. Taking pictures already, mate. There you go. Get out of your way. Yeah, beautiful. These are scriptures that we can use on an everyday basis when we're talking with the unsaved. Okay, so the first one is Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is how I would break it down, but we've all got our own way of delivering the gospel, haven't we? We've all got our own personality, okay? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What that basically means is that we've all failed as people to meet God's standard. And because God's standard is perfection, we have a problem, okay? And you can talk about the fact that we're separated from God because of our sin. Okay, Romans 6, verse 20. We're going to be talking about this on Wednesday night, breaking it down. Romans 6, 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just say to the people, look, you know, I'll just use the wages as an example. I say, look, you know, do you have a job? Most people say, yes, I do. How many hours a week would you work? 40 hours a week? I'd say at the end of that week, you'd get your wages or your reward, so to speak. And then I'd say, in the same way, our reward for our sin is death, eternal separation from God. Just a simple illustration, okay? You can break it down how you please, all right? Romans 5, verse 8, this is a beautiful scripture, isn't it? That God demonstrates his love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can talk about how Christ died for us. He didn't have to, but he did it anyway because he loves us, okay? While we were still in our sin, he sacrificed his son so that we could be forgiven, set free, given eternal life. Okay, next one, Jack. Many of you know this one here. Romans 10, verse 9 to 10 says that if you can, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can break that down too in your own way. Romans 10, verse 13, this is a real personal one for me because this is how I got saved myself. You know, you can introduce part of your testimony here if you want to, how you got saved. The kind of lifestyle that you lived before you come to faith in Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I'm not used to this thing, eh? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as Radu said, to be saved basically means saved from God, for God, to God. Or was it the other way around? That's right. So you can introduce your testimony or your part of your testimony there. And this is one that I don't personally see being used very often, but I'll tell you what, very applicable. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things That's pretty strong, isn't it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then it goes on to say, I, the Lord, test the heart. I know the mind. And you're basically going to reap what you sow. So you can break that one down there. You can talk about how deceitful the heart is. And in Romans 2, verses 11 to 18, it talks about the condition of the human heart. It's very, very strong. Would you like me to read it out to you, or do you want to go home and do your own homework?
Read it out.
Okay, I will. Romans 3, I apologise. Man, I tell you what, this hit me between the ears when I first got saved. I thought, wow, this was me right down to a T, basically. And I sat there and I squirmed. I thought, man, praise God for salvation. That's all I can say. Okay, here we go. This is leading into Romans 3:23, by the way. This is us. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Go home and read that one. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This was me. And the way of peace they have not known. And then it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. Man, that was me down to a T, I tell you. I can relate to that. So you can talk about these kind of things with these people. Remember, and I'm sure you do, and you know, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the people. He's the one that draws. He's the one that gives them revelation of the truth. And he's the only one who can forgive them and set them free. We're just a mouthpiece. That's all we are. He's the one that saves. He's the one that draws. You know, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws me. So, folk, if you want to come along on Wednesday night, we can have a bit of fun. Like I said before, we'll do some role-playing. So what do we do concerning what we have just shared about? What I've just shared about? We can learn to step out in faith. We can cross over the chicken line, so to speak. And we can trust the Lord in what we're going to say for those given situations. And it's called utterance. Relying. You know, I said to the folk on Wednesday night, you know the scripture? Romans... Oh, sorry, mine's gone blank. Proverbs 3:4-5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. In the same way, you can draw a parallel here and say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your conversation. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same principle. That's how I see it. Trusting in him. Hallelujah. I hope you got something out of this morning, folk. Okay, I want to share a story with you. True story. And then we'll call it quits. I heard about a man many years ago. He was an Italian, and he'd come to the United States. He'd made a lot of money, and he was a juggler, and he went from show to show. And he decided he would spend his last years at home in Italy. But before he went, he decided to put his life savings into one big diamond, and he said it would be safe. He said, I'll put it in my suitcase and keep it locked up at all times. It'll be all right. He said, I'm not going to depend on the bank. So he got on board the ship to go back to Italy. And on the ship, he saw a young boy juggling. He was juggling some apples, and a crowd had gathered around. and they were applauding the boy. And the man said, "Wait a minute, I'll show you what real juggling is all about." And the crowd wondered what he was going to do. So he went back to his cabin, got into his suitcase, got out his diamond, and brought it onto the deck. And he stood beside the side rail of the ship. He showed it to the people, and he said, "This is all my life savings." He said, "I'm going back to Italy to see my family." And he said, "My job is a juggler." And then he said this. He said, "I never fail and I never miss." "Watch this," he said. He threw the diamond in the air. And the people went, "Oh, don't, oh." And it came down and he caught it. Then he said, "I'm going to throw it higher." And he did. Oh, and they said, "Oh, don't do that. That's your life savings. Please don't." But again, he said, "I never fail and I never miss." And he threw it again. And it almost went out of sight. And he caught it again. And the crowd applauded. They loved it. And he said, "This time, I'm going to throw it so high that you won't be able to see it." And he did. And the diamond comes sparkling down in the sunlight. And the people held their breath. And he put his hand out to catch it. And about that time, the ship lurched. He reached for the diamond, and it went beyond his reach. And into the deep blue sea it went. He had lost his life savings. All of you have a soul worth more than all the world. And some of you may be gambling with it. You're throwing your soul up in the air and you're saying, "It'll be all right. I'm okay." And the ship lurches and you've lost it all. Jesus said this. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" And then he said this. He said, "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Your soul, the real you, the essence of who you really are, is the most valuable thing you possess. It's valuable because it's eternal. It's made in the image of God. See, there was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time from this moment on when you will not be. I'm going to say that again. There was a time when you were not, you didn't exist, but there will never be a time from this moment on when you will not continue to be. Isn't that strong? Jesus died so that you and I could have eternal life, so that our soul can't be lost. Jesus said this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then he said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." So there's only one way you're going to get saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. Not through your good works. There's only one way you're going to get saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What does that mean? Ask yourself that. What does that mean? Today is the day of salvation. Because there may be no tomorrow for you. You might not be here next week. You may not be here tomorrow. You need to get right with God today. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in here that doesn't know Christ. I hope there is. Here's my message to you. Today is the day of salvation. You can make your peace with God this very day and come to know Him. This is not about religion. This is about having a personal relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've all got our own testimonies, haven't we? The grace of God, the love of God. I know where I'm going to go when I die. Do you? Do you? Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there who would like to respond to that? But please, like I've said before, please don't leave this building until you've made yourself right with God, make your peace with God, because, you know, life is so short. And they say, you take, for example, the Twin Towers back in 2001, I think it was, you know. Close on 3,000 people died that day, unexpectedly. Do you think they would have left their homes and heading towards work knowing that they're going to be taken out by a plane that was going to hit the Twin Towers? No. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't have the guarantee that tomorrow's going to be there for you. You don't know when your last breath is going to be. So come and have a talk with me if you want to. I won't bite you. Whereabouts are the elders in the church? AJ, go and have a talk with AJ. He'll put you right. He'll tell you about Jesus, how you can come to know him. Come and have a talk with me. But I'll stay around here for the next 10 minutes or so. Come and have a talk with me and AJ. Let me introduce you to our precious Jesus. Because that's what he is. He's precious. He's our rock. He's our saviour. We don't have to fear death anymore, do we? We know where we're going to go. He's our hope. And I'll leave you with the scripture here. It's come to my mind. Romans 15, it says, oh, I love this. Romans 15, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, wrap yourself around that one. Isn't that beautiful? Eh? Romans 15, verse 13. He's our only hope. Praise the Lord. Thank you, folks.